theme for the Christmas event last Sunday and this Sunday is Light of the World, I've got some thoughts that I wanted to share with you tonight about light. And they are thoughts, but I have written them down. So excuse me if I read. I will try not to, but they're things that I've written down as I've been thinking about this Light of the World. And what I've also been doing recently is reading again this book, which I got a while ago. Does anybody know this book or have this book? No? Okay, it's called Who, and it's put out by the Bible Society. And it's by a guy called Paul Langan. And what he said his aim is in writing it is to introduce the reader to Jesus, whether for the very first time or in a fresh way. So he's tried to imagine how the various authors of the New Testament might have written had they been alive today. So it's quite an interesting read, and it's split up into the different books of the New Testament. So alongside thinking about some of the thoughts that I had about light, I looked at some of the traditional Bible verses that might talk about light, and then had a look in here to see what it said about it. And I really got encouraged by some of the things that I read, so I thought I'd share them with you.
Great.
So the first thing, I guess the most, perhaps maybe the most well-known verse around light is John chapter 8, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So this writer says it like this: "What a dark world this can be. You try to find your way through it, but so often stumble and fall. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the way clearly, to step confidently round the pitfalls of life? Well, if you trust me, I will be a beacon to show you the way. Follow me and I will guide your every step." And I think, obviously, with the event last Sunday and the event this Sunday, that's the person we're trying to introduce people to, or trying to get people to know, or interested in knowing, is this person who can be the beacon to show them the way. And I had some ideas about light, thinking, actually, okay, if Jesus says that he's the light of the world, if a friend came to me and said to me, okay, so you say that Jesus is the light of the world, but what does that mean? How does that play out in your life? And I kind of thought, how would I answer that? What does it mean? Because I kind of think of, okay, he shows up things as they truly are. He points us to the truth. He is the truth. And I kind of thought of the difference between, like, say, this lighting and soft lighting. As I get older, I think of soft lighting as my friend, because it doesn't show up every detail, and it's good for photography and all of that. But that's not the kind of light that Jesus is. He's not soft lighting. He's a spotlight. He shows the truth. He shows up every detail. And in 1 Corinthians, it says he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. But if my friend said to me, what does that mean for you today? How does Jesus bring light to your life? He's not here anymore. How would I answer them? And I kind of thought about this. I thought, oh gosh, what would I say? I mean, I know that I have a relationship with Jesus. I know that he's alive in my life. But to somebody who doesn't, what could I tell them about how he is the light to my life? And I thought about Psalm 119. And it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." The Message version says it like this: "By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path." Because my friend might turn to me and say, okay, so Jesus is a light for your life, but you've still got things in your life. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean your life's perfect. He doesn't bring everything in and make it wonderful. So what's the difference there? And I would say to them, okay, yeah, you're right. Even though I walk in the light, it says in the verse I've just read, John 8, that you will never walk in darkness. There is darkness around us and we go through dark times. But when those times come, I would say to my friend that I can turn to his word and know that there is life there, there's light there, and I can be encouraged. Because even though the path around me might be dark, there's words in there that are forever relevant and forever illuminating for my life. And I think as long as we take a hold of what's in the word, we'll never be in total darkness again. And I think, I like the fact that it's a lamp for our feet, because if I turned out all the lights in here, I wouldn't be able to see David over there. He'd be in the dark.
Light
soft lighting and all that. Yeah, we turn off all the lights, and I wouldn't be able to see a few meters in front of me. But if I had a lamp for my feet, I'd be able to see where to put my next step. And I think sometimes it really does feel like that in life. And I think my friend would get that. Actually, sometimes it feels like nothing is illuminated around you apart from taking the next step, and then the next step after that, and the next step after that. Perhaps you don't really know exactly where it is you're ending up in certain situations, but I find that when I read his word, it helps me to light up the next step and the next step and the next step. I know my ultimate destination, but I'm talking about situations in life that we don't know what the outcome's going to be. And so I find, okay, how is Jesus the light in my life? Through his word, I can read and know that, okay, I know the next step's here, and I know the next step's here, and I don't really know how this is going to turn out, but he's a lamp for my feet and for the next step in front of me as I take the next step in life. So I think that they'd get that. I think they'd go, okay, all right, yeah. So you can read the Bible and you can throw light on situations that you're going through. And I think the other thing that I would say to them is that when Jesus left, he didn't leave us alone. Of course, he left us the Holy Spirit. And I read in John 16 a verse that says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So I had a look at what it said in this one. And it says this: "The Holy Spirit will be a tutor for your hearts and minds, helping you to understand everything that is true. Everything he tells you will come direct from me, for we share everything. He'll even open up the future to you. He'll point the way to me, lighting me up, just as a spotlight bathes a building in a wonderful glow. Soon I'll be hidden from your sight, but when the Spirit comes, it will be as though I had never left." And again, I think that's true, isn't it? That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to be alive in our hearts and to point to Jesus and to help us point others to Jesus. So again, I think I could talk to my friend about that. I think I could say, okay, yeah, Jesus isn't right here, right now, but I've got his word, I've got his Holy Spirit. That's how he is the light in my life today. I think they get that. So if Jesus is very much alive in the word, and his Holy Spirit is very much alive in me, the next thought that I had about light is that light keeps things alive. So first it illuminates, and then it keeps things alive. And we know that Jesus is the only way to eternal life, but I also believe that to have a full life here on earth, he is the key. And I kind of think it's got to be that, because actually the difference between me and my friend is not physical. We eat the same food, we manage to stay alive, that gives us the energy that we need to go through the day and stay alive and be healthy. If it was just that, then there'd be no difference between me and my friend. There's got to be something else. So if I'm plugged into the light of Jesus, it's more than just eating and drinking and surviving and going through the day-to-day life. And we know that because Matthew 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." But again, I think my friend would say, "But what does that look like?" Okay? What's the difference? Photosynthesis. That's the difference. Does everybody know what photosynthesis is? Yes? I'm going to take you back to primary school or early high school science. Okay? Now, we don't actually use photosynthesis, to my knowledge. Somebody correct me, but we don't as humans. Again, because we eat and we drink, and that's where we get our fuel from. But it got me thinking, okay, if light keeps things alive, photosynthesis is a good example, because it's the process used by plants to convert light energy into chemical energy that can later be released, and I like this, this is straight from Wikipedia too, so I trust it, to fuel the plant's activities. So Jesus, being our light, offers us the fuel for all our activities. Photosynthesis. He gives us strength, he gives us comfort, he gives us joy, he gives us peace, He gives us perseverance and wisdom. He has it all on offer. He has everything that we need. So we can eat and we can drink and we can physically fuel ourselves, but he is the fuel for all of our activities. And again, I think we know we have an eternal life through him, but we also know that he's what gets us through this life. And I think sometimes, again, talking about the path being dark and going through dark times, sometimes it can feel like we're just getting through life. But if we turn to him as our light and ask, he has enough of everything that we need to help us live and thrive while we're living. And people will notice that. Again, my friend says to me, okay, how did you get through that? Or what helped you deal with that situation that way? And I can answer them, I'm a plant. And I am photosynthesizing. No, but seriously, you know, actually, I am using my light as my fuel for my life to help me through these situations, because my own strength is not good enough. I'm not just a joyous person through all situations. Actually, I'm not. Sometimes, truly, I can be terrible. I can be grumpy. I can't be. But Jesus has that all on offer, no matter what I'm going through. And the next thing I thought, thinking about photosynthesis, is it's actually something we don't see happening. We know it happens, but we don't see it happening. And this is where I think the thoughts that I had about light changes from the thoughts that I had about light to what I found out about light when I was reading about this. And I think I knew this. It's going to sound silly when I say it, but did you know that there's light that you can see and light that you can't? And when I thought about it, I thought, oh yeah, I know about UVA and UVB and all of that kind of thing. But there's light that you can see and light that you can't see, or can't see with the human eye anyway. You can see it with other things. But so the next thought I had is, there is more to light than what we see. And what a statement of our faith that is. Actually, there's more to light than what we see. There's more to Jesus than what we see. And I believe that because I've not seen Jesus in the way that I've seen this light in this room. But I know he's real, and I know he's alive, and I know he's at work, and I know he's in my life. And again, I think if you look around at the big world, there's a lot of darkness. There's lots of things that are happening that could make you say, actually, Jesus isn't in the world. And other people, you know, if they don't have that relationship with him, you could start to say, where's the evidence of Jesus being in this world when all of these terrible things are happening? Or if you even look at my own little world, sometimes it looks like there's no visible evidence that Jesus is actually in my life. But 2 Corinthians says this, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And I do believe that Jesus looks like light. Because if you look at the transfiguration, it said, what did it say? It said, his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. So I do believe he looks like light. But I also think that this is a can be metaphorical, that actually there's parts of him in terms of his light that we don't see. And again, I think that's really encouraging, because if I trusted everything that I saw, I might kind of collapse in heat and think, actually, not only is the big world dark, my little world is quite dark as well. This is where I'm going to get a bit, well, I've been a bit scientific anyway, but when I was reading up on light, I discovered that Einstein and a guy called Planck won a Nobel Prize for Physics for their study into light and its properties. And one website that I looked at, the Photovoltaic Education Network website, said this about their work and what they had to say about light. In some situations, light may behave in a manner which seems to defy common sense. The term common sense refers to our own observations because some effects occur under conditions outside the range of human observation. I love that. I really do. I love it because of two reasons. I love it because I really hope, and I'm pretty sure I know, that Jesus' light is not bound by what I can see, what I can see happening around me. His light and the effects of his light to use their words, are outside the range of my human observation. Mm. He's doing things that I know nothing about, yeah. and that's really good, really yeah. encouraging, and I love that. Yeah. I don't need to know about him, but I know he's doing them. And the second reason I love it is because it says, light may behave in a manner which seems to defy common sense. Yeah. That is so Jesus. It really is. That is so Jesus. He didn't just bring his light to people and to places that were expected. Mm. He hung out with undesirables, he turned water into wine, he did things on the Sabbath that people tried to trip him up for. He was always behaving in a manner that at the time seemed outside of the norm. And I think of now, sometimes I think God still uses someone or something unusual to reveal something about himself and to share the light of Jesus. And I don't know if you know this story, but I think of Tony Campolo, and he writes about in his book, The Kingdom of God is a Party, where he throws a birthday party for a prostitute. And I kind of think that's showing light in the darkness. And it shocks people. It's not what they expect of bottomed-up Christians, you know? It's really Jesus-like, actually. And so my last thought is exactly that. So we're called children of the light, and we're meant to be salt and light to the world around us. And so if my friend said something to me like, well, what does that look like? What does it mean to be salt and light? I kind of thought, on a large scale, I guess I could talk to them about Open Doors, the charity for persecuted Christians. I could talk to them about the Bible Society, who are doing amazing things to bring God's word to lots of different people around the world. I might think of Compassion, you know, who do wonderful things for children who you know, need love in their life, or Hope for Justice, which is a human trafficking organisation in the UK and across the world. CAP, you know, or locally, The Haven and Anode. I could point my friend to lots of those things and say, look, that's Jesus, that's like Jesus, you know. And I think, again, they'd be like, wow, that's amazing. And they wouldn't know about all of that stuff. Or actually, I think it would surprise them that Christians are really involved with big world issues and social justice and all that kind of stuff. But what about little old me? Because again, she's my friend, so she could be he, but it's my friend who's saying all of this and asking me all of this and asking about this light. And so I kind of thought that I might talk to them about something like this. So this is, I think this is Matthew 5. The writer puts Matthew, Mark and Luke all together, but I imagine it's Matthew. It says this, your lives should make people sit up and take notice. Like salt in food or light in darkness. Like salt, make life taste better for others. Sorry. Don't lose your edge, or you'll make no impact on the world around you. Salt that goes stale is thrown out. I love this bit. Brighten people's days by letting God's love shine out of you, so that they can see things as they really are. What's the point of light if it's hidden away? Shine with God's love so people will notice and thank him. And I thought, wow, that's really powerful, because there's lots of social justice things I could do. There's lots of things I could get involved in. But day to day, if my friend is asking me how Jesus's light impacts my life on a daily basis, and also if I'm questioning myself, God, what can I do, I like that, because it's not really doing anything. It's just being, it's shining, it's brightening people's days, it's making life taste better for others. I really like that. I can do that. I don't need any special qualifications for that. If I'm photosynthesizing Jesus, then he's going to help me to do that, isn't he? It's just going to be the natural effect. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought, I didn't know whether to put this in because it is a bit cheesy, and I don't think it's scientifically accurate, but it was just my thought anyway. I was thinking about refraction of light, And you all know that that's how you make a rainbow, right? Or how a rainbow is made. And I don't know the scientific ins and out of it. But I kind of thought, okay, it's where light interacts with a medium and different parts of that light are dispersed differently. And that's what makes the different colours. And I thought about me and you, and I don't know everybody in William and Christine's world or Angie's world, and you don't know all the people in my world. And so if I'm doing what it says here, making life taste better for others, brightening people's days, I'm going to do it in my own way. It's still going to be Jesus because he created me to be the person that I am. But if I'm connecting to his light and then showing it out to others, it's going to be different to how everybody else does it. And he does, he wants us all to be the people that we were made to be and to be the kind of light that he made us to be because of our personality, because of our spheres of influence, because of the people that we are in touch with. And I guess that tied in really well for me in terms of inviting people to the events that we have, because that's a sphere of influence that each of us have to not be the be-all and end-all, because actually it might just be the little nugget that kind of gets people interested and then starts them asking some of these questions. That starts my friends saying, oh, what does it mean, the light of the world? What does it mean to you and all that? But we each have to be our own different people because actually we're all going to have a different colour and make the rainbow. Doesn't that sound cheesy? But I didn't write it down because I can't. Well, if it comes out, it comes out. But otherwise, I'm not going to write it down. It just sounds too cheesy to write. So those are my thoughts about light that I had and some of the things that I found out about light.